It is a joy to be with you, to gather with each other, to worship our God. And if you're visiting with us, we want you to know that that is our purpose. God is our audience. His Son, Jesus, has promised to be with us. And we intend to do everything as Jesus said, in spirit and in truth. We are grateful to be able to be with you to present the message this morning. We miss Brother David Phillips as he is in a gospel meeting in Las Vegas. So if the time zone is one off from ours, that means is two off from ours, then he will soon be in Bible class, and then after that he will be delivering his lesson. So just to kind of help you to be praying for that good effort out there and for his safe return. And tonight we'll all be in store for a treat as Brother Tom Young. Brother Tom Young will be presenting the lesson to us tonight, and we look forward to his message. It is a difficult world that we are in, and it seems like that it's easy to get bewildered, it's easy to get distracted, and it's easy to forget the things that we know. So this morning's lesson is entitled, Remember Your Training. Remember your training. If you have your Bibles, we will be using it, but we will be calling on certain scriptures as we go. But if you think about this in the workplace, then in the workplace you have training. We have things that can be difficult. In the workplace you can have unhappy. I made a few notes here and I can't even read my notes here. I'm going to toss this thing here. In the workplace, you've got difficulties like low morale and unhappy employees and people that are not productive. And they say that one of the things is causes that is inadequate training. Inadequate training. The Disney Institute website says people that don't know how to do their jobs become frustrated internally, their motivation, their effort decrease externally. Frustrated employees are more likely to air their grievances. You think about training. A definition of training can be organized activity aimed at imparting information or instruction to improve the recipient's performance or to help him or her attain a required level of knowledge or skill. I've been thinking a lot about this because in a couple of secular jobs that I have recently had to go through training. Training as to what the company expects, what the mission is, and what performance levels are supposed to be. So in this idea of training, we run into that a lot. Corporate training, military training, self-defense training, karate training, judo training, gun safety training, driver training. If you've been watching TV the last couple weeks, Olympic training. And, of course, the topic at hand, spiritual training. So it's not an unscriptural idea, this idea of training. In Genesis chapter 14, the Bible says that when Abram heard his brother had been taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. So he trained his servants. The Bible also says, train. And probably you're thinking of the Old Testament verse for parents. Proverbs 22 and verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he will not depart from it. Did you know that in the New Testament, the scripture talks about training? In fact, the scripture says that the older women are to train the younger women to love their husbands and to love their children. That's Titus chapter 2 and verse 4. Paul told Timothy to train yourself unto godliness, 1 Timothy 4 and verse 7. And then Hebrews 5 and verse 14 says that perceptions can be trained by practice to discern both good and evil. So there is a spiritual application to all this idea of training. And the question is, what does training generally consists of? Usually of information. It usually consists of observation. Not only somebody tell you or show you through information, but it also you get to observe it. Training usually involves practice. Now you do it, or drilling. And then feedback. This is how you did. This is how you could do it better. And of course, those in the sports world who are training know that self-denial is an important aspect in order to accomplish the above goals. So how do we get training? Well, Paul said, 1 Timothy 4 and verse 7, train yourself unto godliness shows us that there is a sense in which it is our own responsibility. And let's think of that. If we break that down into all those things we were talking about, information, observation, practice, feedback, self-denial. Self-denial, doesn't the scripture teach us these things? It teaches us, for example, that we get information or instruction through the Word. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3 talks about blessed are those that hear the words of this prophecy and do it. Ezekiel 33 verse 31 talks about those that hear it, but they don't put it into practice. So there's an important aspect of this idea of hearing the word, but it is important that when we are taught, that we handle it aright. Paul also told Timothy that when we teach, when he was to teach others, he was to commit it to faithful men who would be able to teach others also. We see that we get information through the word by studying it. When we study it, we look at context. We look at background. We look at important words that are there in the scriptures, words that may be repeated, words that we may not know, and we look and see how we may apply it. We get information through the word when we memorize it. There's a scripture, Psalm 119, almost every verse in Psalm 119 has something to do with God's word. Psalm 119 verse 11 says, thy word have I hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you. So memorizing it can help us to hide it or to store it up. Proverbs 7 verse 1, my son, store up my commands. Also chapter 10 and verse 14. But there's more than just memorizing God's word. I think in our lads to leaders, our young people, if they want, can memorize, they can become centurions of Scripture if they want to do that. I don't know if we have any centurions of Scripture. Centurion meaning 100, and I wonder if it means, I wonder if there are any that have memorized 100 Scriptures. I wonder how many Scriptures you know, each of you, if you were to start jotting them down. I wonder how many scriptures do I have memorized? You may have a lot more than you realize. But it's more than just memorizing them. It also is important for us to meditate on them. Joshua 8 and verse, or 1 and verse 8, to meditate on these things. The psalmist said, blessed is he that thinks on these things, meditates on these things. Psalm 1 and verse 2. So memorization may get it into our minds, but meditation gets it into our hearts. Well, we also may be training through observation. We look at role models. Not only are older women in the church to be role models for the younger, but also we find parents are to be role models for their children. Chapter 6 and verse 4. Remember where it says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath? Another translation says, don't exasperate them. Parents that are not good role models for their children, but say something like, do as I say and not as I do. And there are parents that act that way. If you do that, you will exasperate your children because they will see the difference between what you say and what you do. And if you're old school and you spank your children, especially for being dishonest or telling a lie, make sure that you are honest in every area of your life. And that goes with any type of behavior. If you spank your children for not being respectful, do you act respectful? Do you act courteous? Do you show this and model this for them? And then there's practice. Practice. Jesus said, John 13 and verse 17, if you know these things, happy are you if you do them. So knowing them and doing them are both important. And probably Romans 12 is one of those wonderful passages as much as any other place that show us how to put into practice Christianity. Starting with being kindly affectionate to one another. Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. And then there's feedback. If you're going to be trained properly, you need feedback. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13, it says, exhort one another daily while it is called today. We need to give each other feedback. How are you doing, brother? Doing great. You know, you're an encouragement to me. I want you to know that. And then there are times, if it's an exhortation means you get provoked to do better. Not that you're not knocked down, but you encouraged to do better. How can we help each other do better? That's by being honest with each other, being real with each other, but being kind and looking out for everyone's benefit. I need your exhortation, and you need our exhortation. That's part of the Christian life, helping each other and doing it, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, instead of forsaking the assembly, meeting together, exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. That's one of the reasons why we meet together. It's not to, as the world's lingo is, to, quote, go to church. It's to be the church. And to help each other on our journey toward heaven. And then there's self-denial, of course. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 25, Paul talks about competitors exercising self-control, and he says, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. You know, a little laurel leaf. Today we have gold medals. You know how much a gold medal is worth? Today? Well, if you weigh it, I think it's worth $500-something, some odd change. Silver medal is worth about three. In other words, if you were to melt it down, that's literally what you would have. And then there's prize money now. They get about $25,000 per gold medal. So, you know, one of those swimmers is really ringing it up, right? But then they take that money, and right behind them is the IRS. They're not excused from that. And they do it for these corruptible crowns. That money won't last, and even gold won't last. And Paul says, who knew about Olympics because it was a part of their culture, we do it to obtain an incorruptible crown. What you and I have looked forward to will last forever. So, with all that in mind, what about our training? Well, it's a movie line, I think. I won't remember the movie, but I think it's a movie line. Something like, Luke, remember your training. Is that one of those old movie lines? All right. And then Jessica, the little toy doll, you know, somebody said to her, Jessica, remember your training. And Jessica says, but I didn't have any training. Well, you know what? We had training. And so today's call is for you to remember your training. When you are discouraged, remember your training. When you are lonely, remember your training. When you get distracted, remember your training. When you find yourself slipping into temptation and starting to give in and starting to like it, remember your training. When you wake up one day and look in the mirror and you say, I am not the Christian I need to be. I have drifted so far. Remember your training. In military, they'll tell you, if you want to survive, remember your training. What have we been trained to do? Whole bunch of things. Don't forget, number one, you've been trained. I'm confident you've heard this. Number one, continue to pray. Don't stop praying. Paul said to the Thessalonians to pray without ceasing. It needs to be a continual part of your life and in your mind. He said, don't, Paul said, or the writer of Hebrews said, don't forsake the assembly. Remember your training. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. We come together for a purpose. And the purpose is not to be entertained. The purpose is for us to worship God and His Son and His Spirit. All three are part of the Godhead. And we are here also to encourage to one another. Encourage one another to sing psalms or speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our heart to the Lord. We need to come before the altar. And I don't mean a physical place. I'm talking about the presence of God. We need to come together as a group to worship, to give God everything we've got. In our songs that we had up on the screen, and every one of those songs that we sang had a meaning to them. Were we worshiping and were we truly pouring out our heart and singing, O Master, let me walk with Thee? Were we singing that and were we meaning it? When we were praying, were we recognizing that we were before the throne of God and it was made possible through the mediation of His Son, Jesus? And that just in the first century, when they prayed and the place was shaken, that even today God hears our prayers. And if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And that He is still able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. And that do we recognize that to Him much has been given, much will be required? Do we remember our training? That the gospel of Jesus Christ is about the one and only begotten Son of God who came to this earth and He lived perfectly. And He became the lamb that was slaughtered. And He was the only hope of our salvation. And that sin has separated us from our God. And that there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. The one who tasted death for every man, every one of us, you and me. And remember that we, like sheep, have all gone astray. And it's by His stripes we are healed. And it's by His own precious blood, as a lamb without blemish, that has redeemed us far beyond the price of silver and gold. When you get distracted, remember your training. To take the Lord's Supper every Lord's Day, as you see before us, we will partake of unleavened bread. That means it's pure. A reminder of the body of Christ. will be partaking of what Jesus called the fruit of the vine. It is a reminder of his blood. We don't like the sight of blood. Most of us don't. We don't like it when it means trauma. Jesus went through the trauma, and it was horrific to see and to experience. And in a few moments, remember your training. Remember that he suffered on that cross for our sins. When we're out in the world and we're exposed to all kinds of evil things, remember our training. Flee fornication. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 18. Don't stand there, rationalize it. Don't try to be a gentleman about it, not hurt somebody else's feelings if they're trying to introduce it to you. Flee fornication. Don't get hooked up in relationships that are evil and doing evil things. Remember your training. When you get discouraged because you've listened to the people of the world, you've listened to the atheism and the agnosticism and the filth that is mixed in with good things. A movie that we think is funny and hilarious, and we like the actors, we like the actions, but it's got bad words in it, it's got bad actions in it, but we watch it anyway because we say, oh, that part doesn't bother me. Remember your training and flee from the very appearance of evil. When you listen to the philosophies of the world and you think they make sense, and you're starting to pay too much attention and give too much credence to the intellectuals that do not glorify God, then you need to remember that the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. Remember your training. If you want to know how to be wise and how to do right and how to make a difference and how to have a significant life, remember your training. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, Paul said to Timothy. When the things that have piled up in your life seem to far outweigh the good, when the problem, even right now, the problem that you are thinking of, and it might be problems plural, but you've come, and I'm glad you're here. It's good. But right now, you've got things on your mind, and that's all that's on your mind, and it's weighing you down and discouraging you and distracting you. And in the middle of the night, 1 o'clock in the morning, you wake up, and you're thinking about it. And you try to get back to bed. 2 o'clock, you wake up. It's on your mind. Go back to sleep. 3 o'clock, and so forth. Tossing and turning all night. And you begin to think, I've got so many problems in this life. Remember your training. Remember that what we are to do is to thank God for what he has done for us. It is a song, count your blessings. And that's part of a training too. That's why we sing that song when we sing it. We need to name them one by one. And you know what? The scripture tells us, in everything give thanks. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. When as a congregation we become so inward focused that we forget there's 7 billion souls out in the world, we need to remember our training. And it goes back to where Jesus told the apostles to go into all the world and preach the gospel, which is good news. And he tells them, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things. And Jesus promised them, and therefore promises us, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Remember our work. Don't forget your training. When you're burdened down with unworthiness and say, I'm not useful to God anymore, I've messed up. Yes, I was baptized into Christ. I was buried with him in baptism. Yes, I put on Christ, Galatians 3:27. But now it's been a long time and I just don't feel worthy anymore. Remember your training. Remember that in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, he tells us about walking in the light. He tells us if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, Christian, he is faithful. He's just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Don't forget your training. And then when we go about in the world and we think, do I have any purpose with the job that I'm doing? Do I have any purpose with my life from day to day? Don't forget your training. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 17 tells us that whatever we do in word or deed, do all to the glory of God. Yes, you can glorify him from day to day. You can do it. Your life has meaning. Your service has meaning. You have a work to do. You have a mission to accomplish. Just don't forget your training. And finally, when you're discouraged about what lies ahead, maybe a little nervous about it, don't forget your training. When the first century Christians were told that they were going to suffer for 10 days, that's a period of time, it's a limit to 10 days. And they were told, be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. Brethren, be faithful. Don't forget what you've learned. It is the only way to survive. It's the only way for life and for godliness. And it is the only hope of this world. This morning, if you're not a Christian, Christ is the answer. And he has done everything that the Father appointed him to do, to be our Savior and to provide eternal life and hope for you. And if you want that hope, you want that forgiveness, you want that redemption, that new life in Christ, you can have it. He's the answer. Obeying him this morning. If you're a Christian that's struggled, and you know what? You've forgotten your training. I've seen it in a workplace, and you have too. It seems all pie in the sky when you first go through that, and then you get out in the workplace, and then people get off with it, and then they forget. Don't forget your training. Don't forget the one who's provided all things for you. You can come back to him this morning as together we stand and sing.